This is Greg from Popular History. I wanted to let you all know that Cardinal Numbers is a new daily podcast reviewing and ranking the princes of the church, from their ancient origins to the folks who will pick the next pope. Here's a few of the reviews we've had rolling in. You're insane. What's a cardinal? Does Pontifax know about this? Oh yes. Cardinal Numbers premieres June 29th. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
Gundobad left his son Sigismund in the best possible situation. The Franks divided their kingdom willingly, and Sigismund's queen consort is a daughter of Theodoric the Great. So, how does he manage to fuck it all up? This is The Quest for Power.
Welcome to The Quest for Power, where we are rating and reviewing all of the European monarchs from the fall of Western Roman Empire to World War I. I am always your unreliable narrator host, Michael, and joining me on this adventure into the Second Burgundian Kingdom is Roberto. It's been a little bit since we last recorded.
It's been 2 weeks.
That's a lot.
I mean, I'm used to a month break in between recordings, so I don't know what you're talking about.
So am I. I have to remember about the Burgundian world again because I am so way into our next sagas. So I got to remember what we're all doing here.
Speaking yeah, Michael of wrote what we're these doing all here. So long ago, and he's already in season 6. Well, I'm still editing season 5.
Yeah. Anyway. Previously on The Quest for Power, after the death of their uncle Gundobad and Gedeisel inherited the Burgundian kingdom as co-monarchs, Gedeisel fucked around and found out, which led to the extinguishment of his royal line. A sword through a bishop spilling blood on the holy altar, and the slaughter of anyone who was remotely nice to him. Gundobad fathered Sigismund with his first wife Caratine, and fathered Godomar II with an unknown woman. Caratine converted her son Sigismund to Nicene Christianity. Gundobad wisely eliminated joint rulership after his brother double-crossed him, and he learned his lesson, unlike the Franks. And now he left his son and heir a kingdom in high standing on the world stage. Some new information. A year before he ascended the throne, Sigismund founded a monastery dedicated to St. Maurice in the modern-day city St. Maurice, Switzerland. So that's kind of fun. Did I miss anything?
Cool. You missed the fact that Gundobad is our top scorer and amazing and the best so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Gundobad is awesome. I love that man.
I just love the difference between... The 44 point difference between him and the other legendary monarch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's the second highest? What's the difference in that points? I forgot.
Caratine's the one that we highest. Burned.
Oh, that's right. She placed the one we burned. So we did not burn her. She was nice.
Gunna Guys was the one we burned.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
We had two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
But Gundobad
is might have to...
great. I love him. He's great. Amazing. New standard.
One of the greatest surprises I've ever heard in these Rexy podcasts. The great thing is you never know some of the characters that show up and it's like, oh no, this person actually deserves to be remembered. Why weren't we taught this guy?
Because he's from a kingdom that no longer exists, I think.
Yep. We're going to explain why we no longer talk about him today. And for that, we begin with the marriage of Theodoric the Great's daughter Ostrogotho and Gundobad's son and heir Sigismund. We know that they made sweet love to each other at least twice in their marriage. Gross. Because Ostrogotho delivered him a son and heir Sigaric and a princess named Suavegotha.
Suavegotha. Make this sound like a Spanish
fun
song.
Name. Oh, it's
like
does.
A Spanish song. It yeah, like Suavegotha.
Oh, yeah. I bet you that's not how you pronounce it, but I gave it the Spanish pronunciation treatment because that's what it looks like.
I mean, they're near France. Suavegotha. Or something like that. Je m'appelle Roberto. Je suis français. So we got there.
There goes all the French listeners. French pronunciations.
Je suis Maurice.
Unfortunately, sometime before 516, so this probably could have been before his reign, Ostrogotho died of unknown causes. She was about 36, so still quite young. I'm guessing either childbirth or disease took her. I'm guessing if it was childbirth, we would have heard about it. So I'm guessing it's more likely disease. But well, you never know.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is.
Poor lady.
Yeah. And that's going to have some not great consequences, as we're going to see. As after the death of Ostrogotho, Sigismund remarried. Conveniently, Gregory decides we don't need to know her name, even though she is going to play a massive role in the events to come.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, Queen Consort Jane Doe and Sigaric, Sigismund's son from Ostrogotho, they did not get along at all. Gregory goes on the full evil stepmother, stating that she maltreated and insulted her stepson.
Of course, that's what always happens, you know?
Exactly, it really is. And in fact, they were having a grand old feast in 517.
Oh no.
And the royal family was, you know, they were having so much fun with their courtiers. And as we all know, a feast without drama is just simple dinner.
Well, I'm assuming the drama ends up being
very long, drawn out, maybe. You're about to find out.
Next time on Quest for Power.
Well, really the drama is the queen, evil stepmother, shows up to the feast dressed in Ostrogotho's ceremonial clothes.
How dare she?
Sigaric loses his shit. He goes ballistic. He shouts in front of the court and everybody that she is not worthy to wear the clothes of his mother.
Oh.
To be fair, though, in Burgundian law, the clothes should have gone to Sigaric's sister, Suavegotha.
Suavegotha.
And now that we are talking about Suavegotha, let's talk about her a little bit more. At one point in her life, Sigismund, her brother, decided to marry off to Theodoric I, which was Clovis's eldest son, which you would have heard back in his episode.
Forgot.
But back to the feast. Yeah, same. He was decent. I remember that.
It's Clovis.
I don't remember if he was High King or not, if he was Legendary King or not. Oh, Clovis, you forgot?
I forgot. He's a Frenchman, right?
Clovis only like the father of France.
you know, it's France.
They haven't quite learned the white flag. Oh, I said that out loud again.
They won't for a while.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we hear nothing else about this outburst. We just know that it happened. And the editors fade the screen to black. And we appear in the king's bedchambers with his new wife.
Oh.
And this is several years down the road. So there is that little plaque, you know, like several years have passed.
One eternity later.
And it's a classic scene. You know, the young couple, they just had some incredible sex. You have the sheets are covered around them. So, you know, it looks like that for the audience. And the evil stepmother, while rubbing his back, drop hints that Sigaric is planning to murder him and usurp his throne.
Of course.
And not only that, she feels the need to add that he has designs on his grandfather's kingdom in Italy. His grandfather is Theodoric the Great. That last part seems off to me. Who cares if he wants to rule the Ostrogothic kingdom? Wouldn't that be better for you?
Yeah, it's like, oh, my son's controlling this, which means my territory expands. But,
yeah,
you know, Sigismund is a Nepo baby. His dad did all the hard work. He just got to deal with
true.
It.
Yeah.
He got to live the good life while his dad did all this hard work. So I'm guessing Sigismund's just a complete fucking idiot. Who's going to be like, yes, my dear wife, you made me feel so good tonight. I'm going to listen to whatever you say. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't get to feel anything at all because, you know, we're men, but that's like fine. I'll put your son in charge, actually. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah. Who? Yeah. Never mind. Anyway, one night, Sigurik himself was having a really good time. You know, he was partying up like there was no tomorrow.
It's a party in Burgundia.
He just consumed quite a bit of wine, you know, some really good Burgundian vintage, and he got quite inebriated.
As you do.
And while, I mean, everyone's getting drunk at this time. You don't want to drink water. So you no. also keep drinking wine. While he was just flat wasted drunk, some people grabbed him and threw him down a well where he was drowned.
Well, well, well.
What is with this family in wells?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
I think it just has to do with something that it's a large hole in the ground that it's going to be hard to get out of. And apparently it's a hole he dug in himself into because he should have been nicer to his stepmother.
Yeah, definitely should have. Yeah, it turns out this evil stepmother was quite persuasive and Sigismund orchestrated the whole cold-blooded murder of his own son.
That's going to be some infamy points.
And, yeah.
And he's going to lose that in legacy, but like...
Yeah. That's not gonna do good on that. Well, Sigismund sobered up real quick when he came to the realization of what he had done. And he, you know, no one is accursed as the Kingslayer.
A Kinslayer?
Kinslayer. Not Kingslayer. Kinslayer. No one is accursed as the Kinslayer. I believe that's in Fire and Blood over and over and over again.
I mean, when you're a kid, you can be a Kingslayer and a Kinslayer because your dad is also your brother, who's also your uncle, typically.
Yeah, but Yeah. I also have to say, you know, I finished Legendarium, and every time certain people did Kinslaying, that was also a very, that's a huge no-no. It's just not something you should do.
Mm.
Also, what he didn't think of when he drowned his own son, not only is not a Kinslayer, the political implications with the Ostrogoths. This shattered their alliance with Italy. Yeah.
Sigismund, you're a fucking idiot!
He murdered the grandson of the quasi-emperor, Theoderic the Great. Make no doubt, Theoderic is like emperor at this point.
Burgundy deserves to disappear now because of this fucking asshole. How dare he?
Yeah. This really fucked up Theoderic's plans. Sigurik could have been a really good successor and was planned for it, and his death is one of the triggers for a long series of events that we went through in the Ostrogoths season that led to their complete destruction. This event right here.
So we could blame new wife, stepwife, evil stepwife.
Unnamed Jane Doe, stepwife.
Actually, no, don't blame the woman. Blame the fucking idiocy of Sigismund. I'm giving him blame the guy who's named, because there's such a horrible trope in history where you have to blame the evil stepwife, because no, it can't be the man who does the thing. It has to be the wife who does the thing. So you know what? I think this is the chronicler's basically saying, the king can never do any wrong. It's the people who are counseling him, who are advising him. No, Sigismund, it's your fucking fault. You murdered your own son. You set up the order. Fuck you.
Yeah, the chronicler's being who? Gregory of Tours.
Shut up, Greg! Oh god,
I hate him so much.
I know. And you won't have to deal with him for a couple of a dozen episodes soon.
I can't wait. I'm so done with this. Especially because, like, you think, like, when you first are coming into this stuff and, like, you don't realize, like, how far off he is on some of his things, you're just like, well, I got no one else to lean on, so here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, overcome with grief from his own stupid decision-making and realizing how badly he fucked himself, he finally threw up the white flag and retreated to the monastery he founded just before his reign. That's why I felt the need to mention it all the way back in the beginning.
So he abdicated?
He did not abdicate.
Oh, he's still king? Oh, fucking idiot.
Yeah. I have no idea, actually, who's at the helm of the realm at this point, because it was not, like, an official abdication, but I'm guessing his brother Godomar II takes the reins.
Okay.
Because that's the heir.
Question.
Yeah.
Why is he Godomar II when we don't have a Godomar I?
Remember, Godomar I was the prince of, that was a brother of Gundobad.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, but why is he the second?
Good catch, though. Because why is he the second? Because of naming convention.
But because he's the Godomar second was Godomar. A ruler.
This is no. According to Gregory of Tours, he's a ruler. According to everybody else, he didn't.
So we can blame fucking Greg again. Fuck you, Greg.
Yeah, you can blame.
You're confusing me more than you're helping me learn.
I think it's our last episode with Greg.
For now.
For a while.
You know, I feel like I've gotten to the quest for power spirit where I'm just cursing all the fucking time now.
I appreciate it. That's the way we roll here. There's a reason every single episode is explicit. Also, what we talk about, we don't shy away from anything.
All right. So tell me more about the idiocy of Sigismund.
Yeah. So if you recall in our Frankish episodes, the only way for the sons of Clovis to try and not kill each other was to invade other kingdoms to keep their warrior nobility happy.
Mm-hmm.
Burgundy's open season now because Daddy Theoderic isn't protecting the Burgundians anymore.
Fuck you, Sigismund. It's your fucking fault.
So in 523, I'm guessing acting regent Godomar, who probably wanted to throttle his brother so bad, just like, why do you do this? Why are you the way you are?
I don't blame him.
He received word that, by the way, your borders have been invaded by a massive Frankish host. In fact, 3-4 kings are after you.
That's like all the Franks. Actually, no, they probably kept splitting stuff.
Nope, this is all 4 kingdoms of the Franks at this point.
Well, you're fucked, Sigismund.
Yeah. So Godomar grabs his brother Sigismund, tells him the pull himself together and go fucking be king. Lead the defense of your people.
Can I make a guess?
Yeah, go for it.
Sigismund falls down the well. Karma from his fucking son.
We'll see if you're correct on that. Okay, I completely don't remember.
Okay.
The script will tell me.
Okay.
Where was I?
The four Frankish kingdoms were invading.
Okay, hold on. Okay, yeah. So we have the two sides. They collide together in a fierce battle. And after much bloodshed, the Burgundians turn tail and they run for their lives.
Run away! Run away!
Yeah, run away! Run away! In an effort to save his own skin, Sigismund fled to his abbey, threw on monk's robes, and attempted to hide.
Are you finally becoming a monk? Or is he just hiding as a monk?
He's just hiding as a monk. He wasn't very good at hide-and-go-seek, especially this high stakes of hide-and-go-seek. So he was found and thrown into chains by the Frankish king, Clodomer.
Okay, cool.
So there is some speculation, and I can see this happening. There is some speculation, and I can see this happening. There is a good chance that his brother Godomar betrayed him at some point during the battle, and that might have been the deciding factor in the outcome of the bloody engagement, but there's no concrete evidence at all.
I don't fucking blame him if he did that. Like, Sigismund's just a piece of shit. Fucking idiot who can't do anything right. And
I'll tell you why in just a hot second. I'll tell you why I believe this. Clodomer brought Sigismund to his wife and children, who were also in chains, and all of them were thrown in the dungeon as you know, is standard operating procedure at this point.
Well, we're gonna dungeon your dragons now, Sigismund. But you're only getting the dungeon, not the dragon.
Yeah, poor Sigismund. No, poor his family, to be honest.
No, because this is his wife's son, or kid. His second wife's kid. So she has equal blame to this, because if she didn't convince him to kill his oldest son, things would have been fine.
Yeah. I thought we were saying that it wasn't she that did this, and it was
Sigismund, but he's also a fucking idiot for listening to think, hey, you should get rid of your son. Yeah, it's equal blame, but it's more on him because he can actually give the order.
Okay, all right, I can accept that. Godomar seized power and he rallied the Burgundian forces. And this is why I think he is the one who betrayed them. And then I think it's because Godomar went to the Ostrogoths and went like, I get it. You're pissed at us. My brother's a moron. I have no excuses for him. I don't like him any more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't help us out, there's a really good chance that the Franks are coming after you next. And so Godomar was able to secure Frankish support himself. And in 524, he raised his own army and led a counterattack against the Franks, and he took back his territory.
Wait, so Godomar allied with the Franks, then fought against the Franks?
No, he allied with the Ostrogoths.
Okay, you said Franks the first time. I'm sorry.
I apologize. He allied with the Ostrogoths.
Okay.
To go after the Franks. He basically went to the Ostrogoths, went, look, if you don't give us, you know, support, the Franks are going to come after you next.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That makes sense to me now.
Yeah, exactly. So after Godomar led his counterattack, Sigismund's family were let out of their cell and they were taken to a well.
And? Did they get water from the well?
Upon what was realizing about to happen, they completely lost their mind. This was probably a moment of absolute terror.
We're getting a wish! A wish!
We are unaware of the order, but Sigismund's wife, their innocent children, and Sigismund were all pushed into the abyss headfirst. And if the fall didn't kill them, they would have had an excruciating death when they eventually gave up trying to live, and water would fill their lungs until their suffering ended.
I got my wish. They died from a well.
Yes.
That's what you get, Sigismund, for doing the exact same fucking thing to your son, who had...
Yeah, exactly.
Who was set up to be the fucking inheritor of the fucking Ostrogothic kingdom and your kingdom. You could have had this beautiful Burgundian Ostrogothic Empire that would have rivaled,
that
like...
probably could have... The Franks. That could have... Charlemagne might not have happened.
This is literally the biggest what if that history doesn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what if, you know, Sigismund didn't kill his eldest son? And he inherited the Ostrogothic throne. And apparently Theodoric thought that he was a good fit to inherit. And it's
he was
like,
his only chance. He was his only chance. To be honest.
Yeah. So like, oh my God. Sigismund.
Yep.
I already made my decision about him. So like, I can't wait to rank him.
We're not done with him though.
He's
because
dead.
Sigismund, after his death, ironically gives him a whole new life.
Don't tell me. No, no, no. He does not deserve this. No. No, not at all.
I know. I was so excited. I had to make sure I held it back before this because I just wanted to see him.
No. He does not deserve what I think he's getting. No, he's, don't tell me he's a fucking saint. He's not a fucking saint, is he?
Hold on. All right. So first we need to begin with that somehow he got the classification of a Christian martyr. Keep in mind, the man who ordered his death is the son of Clovis and Saint Clotilda, who is very much a true Nicene Christian, and he was clearly killed for political reasons.
I need a moment.
3 years after his...
I need a moment. Is it because he was in a fucking monastery?
I don't know.
It was because he dressed up as a fucking monk? How?
I think it's so.
Why?
I don't know. Why else would it be?
I need to
why
know
else
this
would
now.
It be?
I need to know what. So, why?
3 years after his death, his body was recovered from that same well he was executed in and later buried in the chapel of St. John in the monastery he founded. We know nothing about his kids or his wife if they were fished out, just he was fished out. And at some point after his death, for some odd reason, he was made a saint.
Were there any miracles associated with him?
Not that I could find.
Was
I were, also were, didn't look that his, far because I was just so irate with him.
Were his,
hold
was
on,
his
we're
body
not,
just fine when they fished it out?
We're not done yet. So fast forward. All the way to the 14th century.
Spoilers.
His bones are brought to Prague on the orders of Charles IV, Holy Roman Emperor.
Wait, I know this one.
The emperor is so obsessed with this Sigismund that he names one of his sons Sigismund, who goes on to become the Holy Roman Emperor Sigismund. So if you look up Sigismund in Google, that's the main result that shows up, not this idiot that we're talking about.
I know all about Sigismund of Hungary.
Oh, that's good, because I know nothing.
Oh, he's in Kingdom Come Deliverance, that's why.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. That's why you said Charles IV.
First one.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's gotcha. What I was like, I know Charles IV. Yeah.
I know nothing about...
You're going to have so much fun when we get there in like 50 years.
Yeah. Gonna have to have like teams writing this stuff, just and you and I are gonna have to just record every day.
I mean, working enough money at that point,
we might get to the 16th century.
Hey, subscribe to our fourth wall /Patreon. Hey,
yeah, it will show up. Hopefully, it will be up by now, and I think it will be an actual website, so we'll have to see. I'm still going through the process of it at thequestforpower.com. Holy Roman Emperor Sigismund will construct a church in this honestly pathetic excuse for a king's honor. His feast day is September 5th, which has nothing to do with his life. It is the day his bones were moved to Prague.
Okay. Sometimes the church makes stupid mistakes, and this is one of them. And that is because they are not the true Orthodox church. Actually, wait, is he a fucking Orthodox saint too?
I bet you he is. He's early enough. This is way before that divide.
Fuck. He's technically a saint. Is. Oh, no. Why? Why?
So you can pray to him tonight if you want.
Okay. Fuck, I'm not. I'd pray to Vladimir before I pray to this guy.
So later that same year, some of his bones are used as relics when King Sigismund sends them to the Hungarian city of Arad to protect them from an attack. Again, you probably know this. I do not. He will become the patron saint of the city of Cremona in northern Italy. He has several cities in the world named after him. You want to know what he's the saint against? Saint of? When you need him? If you need help against malaria and hernias, he's your guy. And I am completely baffled as to why this is a thing.
I don't know either. You know who we can ask? Bree from Pontifex.
Yeah, Bree, please help us out.
Or Greg from Popular History. I'll ask Greg.
Yes.
I'll ask Greg. And the next episode, I'll let you guys know what he says, which may be released years from now, but like, that's fine.
So, yep. Greg from Popular History here. I'm assuming I've been introduced for this section. Anyways, Sigismund of Burgundy is considered a saint in both the East and the West. That is to say, both among the Orthodox and the Catholics, despite the whole killing his son thing, because he was really sorry about that, you see? And repentance is a good thing. Back in the day, the saint-making process wasn't as centralized as it is now. Basically, people would go check out the remains or a site associated with the person they thought was holy. I assume in this case that would include the well. And they'd often make some sort of pilgrimage of it, complete with a specific prayer intention. And if they noticed that the trip was apparently effective, word would spread. And the cult, that used to be a neutral word coming from the Latin cultus, think culture. Anyways, the cult of Saint Whoever would form, and eventually the church would recognize the pious practices and officially allow them to continue, assigning a specific place on the calendar of saints to make it official. In this case, Saint Whoever is, of course, Saint Sigismund of Burgundy, and his feast day is May 1st, not whatever Michael said, which was when his relics were translated. That's church speak for moved, so you could call that a translation error. Boy, I crack me up. Anyways, as for why he's the patron saint of malaria and hernias, well, malaria typically presents with a fever, and Saint Sigismund has been connected with miraculous healing from fever since very early times. Here's 6th century historian Gregory of Tours. Whenever people suffering from chills piously celebrate a mass in his honor and make an offering to God for the king's repose, immediately their tremors cease, their fevers disappear, and they are restored to their earlier health. That's from The Glory of the Martyrs, if you're wondering. As for hernias, well, if I had a hernia, I'd pray to every saint I knew. And if I found one that worked, Well, I probably wouldn't spread too many details, but I'm guessing someone did, and word got around. It's logical enough. If miracles are reported, folks are going to be inclined to see for themselves. And the more folks trying, the more reports. I'm just surprised you didn't wind up as the patron saint of Wells. Usually they like to add ironic patronages like that too. Anyways, back to Michael and Roberto.
So with that is the life, reign, death, and afterlife of Saint Sigismund of House Burgundy, the first of his name, Kinslayer, commander-in-chief of the Romans, king of the Burgundians.
Thanks, I hate him.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're not done yet, though. We're going to continue with, let's follow Godomar. Let's see if he can redeem this disaster of an episode.
Let's see this good little backstabber.
Fresh off victory, Godomar marched his army and met the Frankish alliance at the Battle of Versonce. Sure, we're going with that. And as the battle raged on, the Frankish king Clodomir was suddenly cut down, causing a Frankish rout and handing Godomar a decisive victory.
Hey, there we go.
He defeated a Frank, killed him. Pretty damn good.
You know what? Godomar was the one on his horse with his sword in hand, just charging forward. You know, have you seen like the Patriot? Stuff like that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. With his, you know, charging forward, sword in hand. He sees Clodomir and he just goes down and swipes at him and cuts his head clean off. King versus king. One-on-one combat.
It's either that, or he's holding a spear and he strikes him off with his neck clean off with the spear and it's already on a spike. Because that's exactly what happens is Clodomir's head is put on a spike and displayed for all to see.
I like that way better. Just puts it on the spike and just stabs into the ground and yells, "Ah, I'm the winner now!" Ah, he's getting so many bardic inspiration points for that.
So this battle made it really clear to the Franks that Burgundy might cost them their lives if they're not, you know, if they're not watchful. So they decide they're not going to keep conquering it. And they're like, we're going to let Godomar go do his thing. And, you know, they also had other things to do, like go marry Clodomir's wife and then kill her children. And that takes some time. And so they left Godomar to his own devices for a while.
Good. He deserves it after all this.
Yeah. For a while, he gets about 2 terms in office. 8 years go by, and they decide that, hey, let's get another crack at Burgundy. Basically, the reason is that Theoderic the Great is dead. So that's why.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He was dealing with his own problems, like mortality, so he couldn't really help Godomar out in 532 when another Frankish invasion came in. Godomar raised an army, he marched to meet the unwanted guests, and in the fight that ensued, later named the Battle of Autun, Godomar was decisively defeated. His fate is completely unknown. I would like to think that he just went on to an unrecorded Germanic royal court and lived the rest of his days out there, kind of like...
I have something better.
Alright, let's see it.
He fell into a well.
Hear it. Oh no. He doesn't deserve that.
He fell into a well, but, like everyone else in his family.
But with this family, I guess, yeah.
It's just a nice ending where it just all falls down, and it goes. You got to bury it deep. So what else is a bigger hole than a well?
I like it. Yep. That is the canon for the Quest for Power canon. When we eventually get a wiki,
you know, here's how I picture it. He's charging forward on his horse, going to do the same thing to another Frankish king, but the horse bucks forward and throws him into a well.
Just so
the
horse is fine. Hole in one. Just yeah.
The horse is fine. Good. Yeah, but you know he just falls into the well.
Yeah. The Burgundian kingdom will go on to hold for 2 more years leaderless, and after that, it's completely collapse, and it's divided up by the Frankish conquerors. The House of Burgundy is no more. The Burgundian kingdom is no more. It will now become a duchy. And that is the reign of Godomar of House Burgundy, the second of his name, Kingslayer, king of the Burgundians. And that is our finale of season 5. It's got a solid Game of Thrones depressed ending.
Yeah, I kind of assumed it was going to be a bad ending, but like...
Yeah, you don't go from the height of Gundobad to ending the next one on a high note.
Yeah. Oh, let's rank these fuckers.
All right.
Royal power.
This is wild. How long was Sigismund's reign?
8 years.
Yep. Obviously, we know Go to Mars was because I spelt that out just before.
You did. You said 8, so I did the math because you mentioned a few years. I'm like, okay. Based off of when Gundobad died and when Go to Mars takes over, this seems right.
Yep. 8 years. Both of them get two presidential terms.
Obviously, Sigismund is a certain party, and Go to Mars is a certain party.
Yeah. Let's begin with Sigismund, right?
Please, yes.
He's really bad at the Game of Thrones.
Zero. Zero.
You don't zero. Kill him. Yeah. Yeah, he lost his only recorded battle. You don't care Theoderic the Great's grandson while he's still alive.
Just stupid.
Alrighty. I agree. Zero.
Okay. Go to bar two.
So after Sigismund was defeated, Godomar was able to rally the Burgundian forces and get support from Theoderic the Great. He then defeated the Franks in battle on a 4-1 matchup and killed one of their kings. Unfortunately, he lost a very crucial battle, fell into a well, was hurled into a well by his horse, and that led to the complete collapse of the Burgundian kingdom.
I'll give him a 2. I know it's 2 too many, but like, he's a nice palate cleanser after Sigismund, even though
he killed a king.
He did kill a king. I'll give him a point for a king, and I'll give him a point for having to deal with Sigismund's bullshit.
I'm just gonna for rallying the Burgundian forces in general. I think also getting the support of the Ostrogoths when in fact his brother murdered
his nephew,
one of their own kin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I will give him, 2.
Alrighty, that's a 4 for Godomar and a 0 for Sigismund. Infamy!
Sigismund.
5.
Do I need to say it? He killed his own son on flimsy evidence at best.
Yeah, that's a 5.
5. Yeah, kinslaying is automatic. 5.
Yeah.
For least. Real. Especially your own son.
And heir.
Yeah.
And the heir to the Ostrogothic kingdom. Actually, I'm going to move it up to a 7 because of how stupid it was.
I'll stick with my 5.
Okay. That's a 12. Yeah, 12 for infamy for Sigismund. And then Godomar.
He may have betrayed his brother in battle, but there's no evidence. It wasn't something it was known for. I can't give him anything for it.
I'll give him a token 1 just for the may have happened.
I'm giving him nothing. To me, I was hoping you're known for.
I was hoping you'd say nothing. So the token 1 point. Yeah. That's a there 1 for Godomar the Second. Oath of Devotion.
Sigismund, he converted to Nicene Christianity. He built a couple of churches and retired to a monastery in penance for the murder of his own son.
He didn't retire. He was still king.
Yeah.
He just went to a monastery.
Yeah.
And then he's a saint.
In penance. He did penance. That has nothing to do with devotion, though. Sainthood, to me, has nothing to do with devotion because it is after your death.
I'll give him token 1 for the building of monasteries and churches.
I'll give him 2 because he also converted. And usually fresh converts are pretty devout to anything.
Apparently he's not devout enough to not follow the thou shalt not kill.
No king in this entire era is devoted to thou shalt not kill.
To your own son.
He didn't say that. He just said thou shalt not kill. He wasn't specific.
Okay. Still a fucking kinslayer. I'm giving him a 1 because you don't kinslay.
I'm giving him a 2 because he converted. That's something.
That's a 3 for Sigismund. Godomar 2.
Nada. Nothing.
0. Okay. Bardic Inspiration.
All right. So for Sigismund, his family and his execution is actually pretty memorable and terrifying if you just imagine that scene. And he was made a martyr, so he inspired some bard on that front.
I hate to do this, but I want to give him a 5 just because, like, he's a Joffrey-esque character. He's just a fucking idiot.
He's an idiot. He killed his own son. Like, that's pretty memorable and, you know, what you write about. Yeah, yeah.
I'm giving a 5 for being an idiot.
Yeah, yeah. I have to agree.
Okay, that's a 10 for Sigismund. And then for Godomar 2.
I got nothing.
I mean, he killed the king. Well, yeah, we said that is but true. Like, I think he killed the king. But then he died literally.
He did defeat a 4-1 odds. He did have the one awesome battle.
He did.
And he rallied the troops, drove them back, and then he had
it's not Sigismund level. Well, give him a 3.
He went out fighting. Yeah, I'll go 3. That's a good idea. I'll follow you on that one.
That's a 6 for Godomar 2. Legacy.
All right. I really don't want to.
0.
But Sigismund's dynasty obviously is 0. But his legacy post-mortem and its legacy is pretty impressive. He does nothing on his own to deserve these points. But his bones become sacred relics. That's not devotion points, but that's definitely some legacy points. He becomes a martyr and a saint. That is legacy.
He's not a martyr, though.
He is a saint according to the church he is.
I'm not giving him any points. You can't convince me on this one.
I have to give him... I mean, there's a later Holy Roman Emperor based on this guy.
I'm not giving him any points. You can give him as many points as you want. I refuse to give him any legacy points because he single-handedly brought down his whole dynasty.
I want to give him 5, but I'm going to subtract a significant amount because killing your son is definitely against your dynasty. And, you know, everything was destroyed afterwards.
Because of his actions. Yeah.
5. I'm bringing it all the way down to 1.
Perfect. So 1 for legacy. I'm sorry. The sainthood thing is cool. The fact that, you know, future Emperor Sigismund of Hungary is named after him. And, like, you know, Charles IV and everything, you know, venerated him as a saint. But at the end of the day, I want to know more about his legacy as a king than I do about his legacy as a saint. Because this is just showing me that anyone can be made a saint. No matter what,
yeah,
you know.
Correct.
So, that is some legacy to me, and I still think it's cool. But I see legacy more so as what did you do while you were alive that set up your dynasty for the future.
I see that as 2 because at first I did call this category dynasty, but I also want to include other extra stuff that we didn't find in the other categories, and that's why I said legacy because it kind of is the over encompassing like. Catch all if you don't think anything, and being a saint is a big thing in this time.
You know,
huge
I think
thing in this time.
You know, if this is Carotene, who what if she was actually made into a saint? I would have been like, oh, she did all these cool things, and then that would be like full on 10. But Sigismund,
yeah, correct,
literally destroyed his dynasty. It's his actions that caused the downfall of his dynasty. He destroyed so many things because of his idiocy. When he was given like the winning hand, that he crashed his legacy into the ground, and I no longer see him as, you know, him being a saint has no effects on his legacy because he's just that bad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I take it all the way down to 1. but I have to give him something because it's just extraordinary how this god awful king becomes something in his death.
Yeah.
Reminds me of which English king is it that he becomes a saint afterward?
It's a lot of them.
He didn't really deserve it, but they made him like a martyr at the end. I forgot.
Edward the Pious or something.
I think that might be.
I don't know.
I thought he was an Anglo-Saxon, but I don't remember.
I don't know. Maybe. Regardless, listen to Rex Factor to find out. Or us in the future, actually.
Yeah. All right. So in Godomar, he was the last king. He did what 0. He could, but not good. 0.
This is 0 for Godomar. Are you ready for the final points?
I am. I actually have no idea because it's got to be low.
You'll be surprised. Okay. Let's start off with Godomar at the second.
All right.
With a 4 in royal power, a 1 in infamy, a 0 in oath of devotion, a 6 in bardic inspiration, and a 0 in legacy, that puts him tied for the lowest place at 11 points.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. So how do you want to, what final ruling do you want to give him? Or what's,
what are you thinking?
Do your little quip first.
Oh, sorry. I am so off of it today. Alrighty, let's go. In the annals of history, should Godomar II be crowned as legendary king, just good enough to retire as a lesser noble, or does he deserve to be burned at the stake?
Lesser noble. I think he tried.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. He tried.
He was dealt a 2-7 off suit for poker.
Yeah, he was given like the worst possible hand. After, you know, if he was the one to inherit after Gundobad, things would have been fine.
Yeah. Yeah, but, probably.
Yeah. However, I think so. Good job on you, Godomar. You get to relax in peace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty.
It's time for Sigismund. With a 0 in royal power, a 12 in infamy, a 3 in oath of devotion, a 10 in bardic inspiration, and a 1 in legacy, which brings him to a total of 26 points.
Where is that in the range of things?
He is the 4th highest.
Stop it. He doesn't deserve it. In the annals of history, should he be burned at the stake? Should he be decapitated? Should he be roasted in a bowl? He obviously, those are the questions that we need to know.
I think you decided a long time ago. You know what the funny thing is? I already wrote it down before you even asked the question. I was like, yeah, burnt at the stake.
I decided burnt at the stake the minute he killed his kid when I was researching this.
Yeah, no, I decided burnt at the stake literally not too long into the episode. I'm like, no, I know no. What I want.
That's why I said that's why I gave you 3 different options of the way we kill him.
Okay, so here's what you do first. You cut his tendons, so he can't walk anywhere.
There you go.
Then you also cut his wrists. Then you draw and quarter him. Then you burn.
Oh yes,
but to the point where he's still alive. Then you burn him at the stake. Then you throw the remains into a well and you pour cement into that well, so no one can get it out to consecrate him as a saint. This guy does not deserve it.
No, he doesn't.
I hate. There's a person. I don't really hate people in history this much, but Sigismund has earned it.
So, I don't know if you recall in the Discord chat that I said, I do my best writing in kings I really hate. This was it.
Yeah.
I got you to hate him just as much.
So much. You know, I hated going to Geisel, but at least he had a fucking cool, like, ending. Sigismund's just like, he's just a fucking idiot. I just go to Geisel was like, tried.
The best part was your just sheer defiance of the no, 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 no.
Oh my god. I hate this man so much.
I know. I do too.
So much. Just,
what a way to end season 5. And your first season. With hatred.
That's with good. Absolute fucking hatred.
Let the hate flow through you.
Okay, Palpatine. Who will also be ranked on Patreon?
Eventually.
Eventually. We have quite a few other people to go through. But
about 170 at least.
Oh god.
You
You didn't tell me the number.
All right. We'll just throw this in here now. I was going to do it at the start of next season. Roberto was given the choice between the monarchies of Star Wars, the kings and queens of the legend of Tolkien's Legendarium, great house, the what is it, the great houses of Westeros, or the only historical one, Pharaohs of Egypt. Pharaohs of Egypt, there's about 170.
Curse for power! Curse for power!
Oh, I call it Curse of Power.
Curse of Power! Curse of Power!
Okay, good. So yeah, as you can look forward to that, it's already written, so we just have to record it sometime.
Yep. Oh, boy.
Alrighty.
I will let you know this now.
Well?
In the comments on the ranking sheet, next to Sigismund, I just put, fuck this man. Yes. Just so in the future, I know, oh, this asshat. Okay.
I love it. I hate him.
Yes. I don't remember why, but I hate him, and I will figure it out. Especially once I re-listen to this episode, because I have to edit it now.
Yeah, when you edit it, you're like, I hate him. Can he just die, please? Can he just die, please? Oh, he died. Thank God. Oh, no.
He's a saint. Okay.
Well, that brings us to the end of Sigismund the Terrible, the Hateful, the Bastard, Godomar the Second, and the entirety of Season 5 of the Burgundians. Let us know what you thought of this season. Did you enjoy that we did multiple kings per episode? I hate to tell you, but in order for us to keep going in the way we're going, we're going to keep doing that when it calls for it. Doesn't happen all the time.
It's the illusion of
choice. You can catch us. Yeah, exactly. You can catch us on Messenger at Facebook and Instagram at Quest for Power, or email us at questforpowerpod@gmail.com. And we have Twitter now.
We do have a Twitter now, and our handle is @Quest4PowerPod. So Quest for Power Pod, but with a 4 because it was one character over the limit. So I had to change something, and the 4 was the easiest one to change.
Roberto surprised me and created a Twitter because I've never operated it in my life. I sound like an old geezer, but I'm okay with that.
I'm sorry, it's called X now?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
X, formerly known as Twitter. No, it's Twitter. Quest for Power Pod. It'll be in the show notes. You can follow us there. I'll be posting stuff on there. Memes that I make. My thoughts, ideas. Me essentially ranting about in live about the things we were recording, and you're probably gonna be like, what are you guys talking about? Because and then a few months later you're gonna get the whole new season and you're like, oh, I get what you're saying now.
That's why Roberto just went off the rails 5 months ago.
This fucking asshole. This asshole.
I hate this person.
I mean, I haven't tweeted yet, so I'm gonna go in and say, like, we just ranked someone. This guy's a fucking asshat. Roberto.
He needs to die.
Thank God he's dead.
Again. No solace. No solace.
No. If I it's you know, he's gonna catch his hands as soon as I see him. If I ever go to Hungary, I'm going to go to that church and be like, alrighty, and you know what's going to happen now, Sigismund.
Oh my goodness. That needs to happen. Someday, we need to go to Hungary and we need
Quest
to go
for power
to that
field
church.
Trip. Quest for power field trip.
That needs to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, put it down in the show notes or put it down somewhere we can remember.
Anyway, the podcast is researched and scripted by the unreliable narrator, me, Michael, and edited by Roberto.
And it's edited by me. So all the funny things you hear, it's all my fault.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And the person who controls Twitter, that's Roberto, too. I should probably figure out how Twitter works.
So if it's unhinged content, it's me. If it's you know, some guy trying to type for the first time, it's probably Michael.
Yeah, you'd just be like, what is this person doing?
For real.
If you would like to support the show, you can do so by giving us a 5-star review on podchaser.com/questforpower. If that's not your thing, just tell someone about this podcast. It goes a long way. We will review every 5-star review on Podchaser. We are going to create what's called Fourth Wall. It's a better Patreon. I think I actually will get our own website.
We do. Or
it will like help us create our own website. So we'll let you know on our social media when that gets started. I have it Like, I've started the creations, but I haven't, like, figured out the website stuff, because I'm maybe we'll try and grab an actual decent URL so you can find us pretty easily there.
I can help with that.
It takes a lot of resources to research and produce these episodes, but we love doing it. If you would like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a member of our royal court at thequestforpower.com to come chat with us on Discord and gain exclusive to extra episodes, like our first members episodes, which will be The Curse of Power. We will rate and review the kings and queens of Egypt. If that's not your thing, no big deal. Giving us a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice or just telling someone about this podcast goes a long way. We appreciate your support. And now that we tackled the rather straightforward Kingdoms of the Burgundians as a war warm-up, we are going to throw ourselves into an absolute convoluted mess. Next season on The Quest for Power, Legends of the Lost Kingdoms. We are crossing the English Channel for the first time to travel through the formation of the Anglo-Celtic petty kingdoms, leading to probably Alfred the Great. We don't know how far that's going to go, just wherever the narrative takes us. Roberto wanted the Heptarchy, so you can blame him when we pillage the sacred grounds of Rex Factor.
From the morning to ya, and the rest of the day to you. We're going to talk about Ireland for the first time. This is my Irish accent.
Oh god, is that going to happen all next season?
All next season, I'm going to talk with an Irish accent.
You guys will get to look forward to that, because the first episodes are all Ireland. So you...
Oh, we're going to talk about Ireland. Oh, that's going to turn into a Scottish accent. But we're going to talk into a British accent at some point.
Just piss everyone off.
Piss everyone off.
Speaking of pillaging, there's a good chance we'll cross over into Scandinavia as well, in a longboat full of loot. We don't know for sure, though. We'll have to find out. With that, the second kingdom of the Burgundians is dead.
Long live the princes, long live the petty kings! Gundobad left his son Sigismund in the best possible situation. The Franks divided their kingdom willingly, and Sigismund's queen consort is... Insert intro here. Drink the Kool-Aid, Jim Jones.
Sorry, after that much Sigismund, it really sent me into a coughing fit.
You're better off drinking the whiskey you have there.
I am.